Episode 11 of Season 1 of New York Undercover is entitled The Eyewitness Blues and premiered on Thursday, November 24th, 1994, which was one day after the theatrical release of A Lowdown Dirty Shame starring Keenan Ivory Wayans, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Sally Richardson Whitfield. The episode description of our episode reads, Williams protects an eyewitness while Torres looks for the people who want to kill her. This episode is directed by Frederick Keller. This is the second of a whopping 19 episodes that Keller would direct of the series. And the episode is written by Charles Holland, and this is his third of five episodes that he would write in season one. Key guest stars in the episode include Michael Michelle, Kristen Wilson, Lisa Vidal, Paul Guilfoyle, and the aforementioned Sally Richardson Whitfield, with Sally Richardson Whitfield's character also doubling as the musical guest. Now, it's clearly not a coincidence that this episode is airing the same week that A Lowdown Dirty Shame came out. Obviously, Fox was probably looking for a lot of cross-promotion between the movie and this episode. Now, the cold open of our episode is a change of pace and actually begins at Natalie's, with Richardson's character, Carabine singer Tammy Barrett, singing Sensuality Is What I Need. Now, this is interspersed with images of her manager slash producer, Brad Perez, playing craps at a gambling joint, winning big, and receiving an IOU note from two shady bad guys. We then see the same two men appear at Perez's home and stab him, right as Barrett enters the home after jogging. Startled by what she sees, she takes off running down the stairs and out of the building with the men in pursuit. She escapes and catches the attention of a passerby as we fade to black. Hi everyone, I'm Chris Rose and welcome back to New York Undercover Rewind, the podcast that discusses all things related to the TV series New York Undercover. Thank you, as always, for listening. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. We are also now on Apple Podcasts, so check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NYUndercoverTV. Act 1 opens back at the scene of the crime with Emmy Wong and Lieutenant Cooper standing over the body of Barrett's manager-producer, Brad, who Wong says has died of multiple stab wounds to the chest that pierced the heart and the lung. Accompanied by her agent, Eileen, played by actress Kristen Wilson, who played Eddie Murphy's wife in the Dr. Dolittle films, Barrett heads to the precinct to identify potential suspects in the photo book. Meanwhile, Eileen pulls Torres aside and hints that the killing wasn't just a mugging and that Brad's lifestyle may have played a role in his death. Barrett identifies Benny Rolando, young guy, and Remy Powers, a career criminal played by Paul Guilfoyle, would later go on to star on CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, on CBS. Torres says Powers is a legend and a gangster to the bone. Cooper tells Williams that since Barrett won't accept police protection, Williams will have to go undercover as her personal bodyguard. Well, Torres is a little salty that Williams gets all the undercover assignments with all the pretty ladies. Cooper tells Torres that he will be working alongside Detective Ricciarelli. Later that night, JC arrives at Sandy's apartment. Yeah, this is the same Sandy who broke up with him three episodes ago in the missing episode. Remember when he and Chantel were about to knock the boots? Yeah, that episode. Somehow, and really without any explanation to the audience, he and Sandy are back together again. We never saw this on camera, we never saw this on screen, so it's kind of baffling as to how they're back together. Anyway, JC tells her that he needs to cancel their plans for the night because he has to go undercover. He promises to make it up to her by taking her on a romantic getaway. Meanwhile, Torres returns to his old neighborhood to get information about where Remy Powers might be and ask a neighborhood local named Bobby. Bobby takes him to the side and tells him quietly that Powers has a Russian girlfriend named Natalia that he should check into. Meanwhile, back at Barrett's place, JC has secured her home to make sure everything is safe. Tammy says she doesn't want to be a problem. She's just trying to keep her employees paid and employed by not canceling tour dates. Meanwhile, Benny and Remy are plotting their next move. Remy, the older guy, wants to go after Tammy Barrett, while Benny disagrees and says they should just jet and stay low. When Benny turns his back to Remy, Remy takes the yo-yo string from his yo-yo and wraps it around Benny's neck and strangles him to death, with a feeling of exhilaration across his face. Fade to black. Act 2 begins with Torres and Williams at the park where Benny's body has been found, with Emmy Wong making his usual off-color remarks. Back in Natalie's, Tammy and her band are rehearsing. Now, one of Tammy's roadies is testing equipment and ensuring the amplifier is connected to the microphone. But when he touches the microphone on stage, he ends up getting shocked and dies. Someone, maybe Remy, is trying to kill Tammy. Back at Tammy's apartment, JC is sleeping over on Tammy's couch and shirtless. Tammy, who is unable to sleep, comes downstairs with a bottle of wine and joins JC on the couch. They both discuss growing up in Harlem, he at Franklin High School and she at St. Catherine's, and how the Franklin guys used to sweat the girls at her school. They flirt with each other hard, with JC saying, you know, we hadn't known each other, who knows what may have happened. And Tammy replies, holding up her hand, I don't see no ring on this finger. Hey, now. JC laughs. The next scene is set to the group Five Alarms, The Greatest, and features a montage of JC and Tammy spending time together in her apartment while she rehearses, going for a jog together, and shopping together. However, as they get into a waiting car after going shopping, who happens to see them together? Yep. Sandy. JC's girlfriend. She spies them together from across the street. This isn't good for JC. Now, while Tammy continues to give JC the come hither looks, Torres continues to work the case. He finds Remy's old girlfriend who has no idea where Remy is and works with Detective Ricciarelli to go over business records and tapes from Tammy's deceased manager, Brad Perez. Now, Eddie calls in his sister Carmen for a little bit of help. You remember Carmen, we met her in the last episode, and she's played by Lisa Vidal. Eddie drops off records with her because he, one, knows she's good with numbers, and two, she is a reporter. He asks her to look through the records to see if anything is amiss. The following day, JC and Tammy are on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, with Tammy signing an autograph for a young fan, while JC is keeping a close eye on any suspicious people. Remy Powers, with his signature yo-yo and dressed in glasses and a newsboy cap, arrives and pulls a gun, which JC spots immediately and gives chase, with Remy firing a shot at JC but missing. Now, JC and his very apparent stuntman trips and falls over a passing bicyclist and loses sight of Remy. Back at Tammy's apartment, JC consoles her as she thinks about how close Remy got to killing her and remembering how Brad died. She thanks JC and moves in close and gives him a kiss. He pulls away in regret, thinking about Sandy, and says, I'm with someone. But Tammy is undeterred and says she's not trying to mess up his relationship, but that he felt something with that kiss and that should tell him something about the status of his relationship with Sandy. He admits that he finds her very attractive, but that he can't do this. She leans in to kiss him again, and they kiss again even more passionately, this time lying on the couch and his hand caressing the small of her back. Okay, this is starting to sound like a steamy romance novel, so all I'll say is we know what happens next. As we fade to black. Before we continue with the recap, it's time for a trivia question. Actress Sally Richardson Whitfield, who guest stars as Tammy, directed 5 episodes of this HBO drama set in the world of professional basketball. The answer coming at you at the end of this episode. We open Act 3 back at the precinct with Tammy's agent Eileen in Cooper's office with Torres and Ricciarelli. Eileen claims that Tammy's former manager, Ahmed, threatened her and wants to rep Tammy again. Torres finds Ahmed, who claims he didn't kill Brad. Now, Ahmed is played by Robert Jason Jackson, who would guest star on the show for another three times as two separate characters. Torres and Ricciarelli go back over to Brad Perez's place, where Torres finds a floppy disk. Remember those floppy disks with Perez's financial information? Torres tells Cooper that it also looks like Brad had a special relationship with Eileen Clichette. Cooper calls Williams, asking if Tammy can skip Brad's funeral out of an abundance of caution for Tammy's safety. Williams, now walking around Tammy's place shirtless and in boxer briefs, reassures Tammy that she will be safe at the funeral and to just stick to the plan. Set to Jade's 5-4-3-2, your time is up. We now see the killer Remy Powers masquerading as an electrician and setting up shop on the rooftop across the street from the church where the funeral will take place. He takes out a rifle and waits for the funeral party, including Tammy, to exit the church. He waits for an opening and takes the shot, shooting Tammy, who falls down on the church steps as we fade to black. The fourth and final act opens back at the precinct with Torres, Williams, and Tammy's agent Eileen in the interrogation room. The detectives present their findings. Eileen was stealing money from Tammy that was never reported on her statements. She denies it and says Tammy was her best friend. Seconds later, Tammy walks into the room. She's alive, and Eileen is shocked to see her, thinking she was dead. Now, of course, this is what the detectives wanted Eileen and everyone else to think. Turns out the person shot was a cop wearing Kevlar and disguised as Tammy. And Eileen and Brad were working in cahoots with each other to steal Tammy's money. But Brad had a gambling problem and tried to blackmail Eileen, so she hired Remy and Benny to kill Brad. They urge Eileen to give up Powers' location. She does, and that leads them back to the apartment of Powers' girlfriend, Natalia. You remember her, the Russian girlfriend we mentioned earlier in the episode. She refers them to the Lennox Lounge, where Powers typically hangs out. And the man at the Lennox Lounge tells them that Powers rents a room upstairs. With their guns drawn, the detectives cautiously enter the apartment where they find the hitman, Remy, eating pizza. They yell at him to show his hands, which he refuses to do, and he pulls out a gun and shoots at them, narrowly missing Torres and Williams. He escapes to the fire escape and continues shooting, with the detectives giving chase, until Remy goes into the street and is hit by a garbage truck. He dead, and Torres, with the best line of the episode, says, "And remember, kids, cross at the green, not in between." With Tevin Campbell's "Always in My Heart" playing, JC returns to Tammy's apartment, where he is greeted with a kiss by Tammy, who tells him she misses him. But JC is there to tell him he can't be with her, and that while he has feelings for Tammy, he has love for Sandy. Tammy is heartbroken, but deep down she understands and says, "Well, guess I'll just have to wonder what it would be like if I had met you first." JC kisses her in the hand and walks away. So now, JC, thinking he is slick, shows up at Sandy's with a bouquet of roses, unaware that she saw him on the street with Tammy. Sandy is not happy and sees the roses and asks, "What happened? Tammy didn't want them?" And asks JC if he slept with her. JC says no, he didn't sleep with her, even though we all know this isn't true, and says that Tammy is not a threat to their relationship. But Sandy isn't having it. She pushes him away and says she can't trust him anymore and tells him to go. He does go, with Sandy left crying in the apartment. Outside on the street, and with Tevin Campbell's song playing over the scene, JC tosses the roses in the garbage as we fade to black. End of episode. I give this episode an A and an almost got an A+, except for a few minor quibbles. One being the status of JC and Sandy's relationship, which was really never resolved when they broke up in the missing episode a few episodes prior. We never saw them get back together. We never saw them have a conversation. So it's a little surprising that they're a couple as this episode begins. And the other thing to note is that Williams is a frequent visitor to Natalie's. And when Tammy was there rehearsing and he was there as her bodyguard, wouldn't the people at Natalie's know he was an undercover detective and not just the personal bodyguard and blow his cover? And lastly, you can clearly see Yoba's stuntman when Williams is chasing Remy in Midtown. Whenever you can see the stuntman's face, not always a good thing. I blame the editor on this one. However, this episode is clearly intent on making Yoba a sex symbol for the show's fans. This dude had his shirt off in about 3 scenes in the episode, and the love triangle between his character, Tammy, and Sandy, I think, captivated audiences. Also, the storyline of his being a bodyguard is quite similar to the movie The Bodyguard, which starred Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston. That film actually opened almost 2 years prior to the day that this episode aired. That film opened in November of 1992 and grossed $411 million worldwide. Now, let's go back to the trivia question before we finish. Actress Sally Richardson Whitfield, who guest stars as Tammy, directed 5 episodes of this HBO drama set in the world of professional basketball. The answer is Winning Time: The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. Richardson Whitfield has had a prolific directing career with directing credits including The Gilded Age, The Wheel of Time, The Chi, All-American, Black Lightning, among many, many others. And as for a low-down Dirty Shame film that she co-starred in, the action film opened to $8 million in opening weekend back in 1994 and went on to gross $29 million worldwide. Folks, that's our time for this show. I'm Chris Rose. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us. And don't forget to check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NYUndercoverTV. Bye then.